worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. We worship the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God still holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Gonna shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Gonna shout out your praise. Oh, shout out your praise. Thank you.
battle you won. I am Yeah. Jesus for my family. share a verse of scripture with you from the book of Philippians that I think is becoming more of a reality to me, that our culture today is so far off the base. So far off the base. You say, Pastor, I thought we'd be having a shouting session in here today. Didn't you hear the news that Roe versus Wade was... Yeah, I'm excited about that. Come on, give the Lord praise. I am. I'm excited about that. But can I just tell you what that begins? That begins a battle like you've not known. Okay? It's not just, oh, they just straight across the board. No, 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 no. Now the battle comes, man. I feel goosebumps as I say that. Paul said there'd be a time when this is what he would say, Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe there's coming that day when those who don't even want to confess, they must have to say Jesus is Lord. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Yesterday I had an occasion just to take a few moments. I had a couple of errands to run, and so how many of you know that when you run errands, sometimes you throw in something in the middle of the errands to make it not so bad? You know, it could be a stop at Dairy Queen, or come on. Well, I was making one of those stops, and I found a most unusual place in Elizabeth City that I'd never been before. It was a brewery. Say, Pastor, I didn't know you drank. I don't. I just thought, wow, that's interesting. Somebody's taking a big old brick building on the waterfront of Elizabeth City. And it was just stately. It demanded your attention. Just look at this building, the bricks. And I looked inside. I peeped in the window because the glare kind of kept me from seeing really the reality of what they'd done with this building. And a door shoots open. He says, come on in. Well, I say that to people all the time. You know, come on in. And so I went on in. And, of course, there were very few people there. And I just stood and I looked at all of the effort, all of the money, thousands upon thousands of dollars that had been spent to restore this old, what used to be a lamp oil factory on the banks of the Pasquotank River. And it was a beautiful building. And what was beautiful about it is you could see all those old bricks on the inside. And they had done a tremendous job at restoration. He said, come on, let me show you the terrace. And we went up and we overlooked the Elizabeth City, the Pasquotank River. I said, man, this is beautiful. And he said, yeah, we rent it out for venues, for weddings. I said, what is it rent for? $5,000 which is not a lot for a wedding, guys. Come on, just take a breath, okay? You have, evidently your daughter's not got married yet. Okay. So, but we began to look, and the thing that fascinated me was I was trying to look at the beauty of all of the building and everything, but I couldn't help but see him, okay? My eyes were focused on him or her, and I was confused. And I said, wait a minute now. You got muscles. You got tattoos. You got a tight shirt, so you want us to see your muscles. But then there's beautiful, beautiful. Let me see your fingers. But nah, he had you beat, okay? Nah, he had you beat. You trimmed them, though, okay? You got to work, okay? You got to work. You trimmed them. So, but he didn't trim his. His fingernails were like an inch or so long. And he had the most beautiful mauve-colored nail polish on all of his nails. And he had a streak of blonde in his hair. And I was like, man, I'm hearing this in my head. He, she, her, him, they, them. I was like, no wonder. Now I know what they're talking about. And then during the week, my granddaughter stayed with us. And she told us a story this past week about how she had gone to the YMCA. And she said she'd gone there on a regular basis, you know. She was talking about swimming pools and stuff like that. She had gone to the Y, and she said, there's a guy there named Holly. And she said, I asked Holly one day, she said, Holly, are you a boy or a girl? And he said, I'm both. She said, he bent down and said, I'm both. She said, what do you mean? He said, him/her. He told her he was both. My 7-year-old granddaughter was educated there for a moment the wrong way. Remember me telling you that she brought home the form that said, do you check male, female, or non-binary? This is where this comes in. Can I just tell you, friends, welcome to the 21st century. Okay? Some of you are protected. You live in the country. You stay at home. You go to Walmart, get you something to eat once in a while. You don't get out into society. You don't see a lot of this. But can I just tell you, it's out there. It's penetrating our society. It's amazing to me how just a small percentage, just single-digit percentage of people in our nation can infiltrate and influence such a powerful influence. And you know what we need? We need to be arrested by the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need to be arrested by the Holy Spirit and called to a place of repentance. Repentance for the sin of our lives. And God, I just want to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to preach the truth to people. You know, listen, Roe versus Wade broke this week. Thank God. I'm glad it did. I put on a Facebook, hey, thank God, victory for the unborn today. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that hit my post there. And nobody, no haters. I didn't have any haters. I had one guy who said, but yeah, but what about all the other people that are getting killed with guns? Well, that's not my subject. That wasn't my subject. My subject was, thank God, Roe versus Wade has been reversed. Okay? And for those of you who didn't like Donald Trump, he put 3 justices in the Supreme Court that were responsible for doing that this week. That's for those of you who didn't like him. Okay? Okay? Now maybe you have some appreciation for him. Friends, our country is in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Look around you today. We see empty seats. People aren't hungry for God. They got better things to do today. It's Sunday. It's my day. No, it's his day. It's his day. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm believing God for a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, God-ordained revival to break forth in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will get our priorities right, that we will learn to love the lost. Now listen, I take every opportunity. I went on the tour with the guy, gal, yesterday, or whatever he was. I'm not sure what he was. I really am not sure. I did the tour. I was kind to him, Joel. I spoke kindly. And when I left, I said, hey man, thanks for showing us around. God bless you. It's a seed, okay, Brittany, it's a little seed. It's a little seed. And then I'd say, Lord, take what I said to him today, God bless you, and let him think about that. It's not time for you to judge. It's not time for you to, that's why I said, I got a lot of feedback last week. I said, hey, if you're struggling, LGBTQ, whatever other letters you want to add to it, if you're struggling, you're welcome here at this church. You are. You're welcome here. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to condemn you, but we're not going to tell you the truth, okay? We're going to tell you the truth. That is sin, okay? But we're not going to condemn you. It's sin. It's sinful life. It's sinful choices. And someone has to stand up and tell you the truth, and we're going to do that. Amen? We're going to tell people the truth. I'm not going to say he and her. I'm not. I'm going to do the best I can to figure out what it is, and then I'm going to call it that, okay? He or she, one or the other. So I'm not compromising, because God says that there was something that he made in the image and the likeness of himself. male and female created he them, okay? He and her, okay? That's it. So I'm telling the truth. And if you think that's judgment, you sure got the wrong idea about me. I'm not here to judge you, but I am here to tell you the truth, because one day I'm going to stand before the God who called me, and I'm going to give an account far greater than you will ever give. Okay? Far greater. To whom much is given, much is required. So I'm going to tell the truth. And I hope and pray that in this next season, that we see a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for protection. We need to pray for blessing. We need to pray for provision. Today, at the end of the service, we're going to take up an offering today that hits our family pregnancy crisis center right here in this town. And I want to tell you something else. How many of you would be willing, if you had an opportunity to spare a child's life, to adopt a child into your family? I would. How many of you be willing? I'm excited because Christians have an opportunity to love by giving of themselves and adopting a child, okay? Because there's going to be a lot more babies being born now than there were in the past 50 years, okay? So God, give us a willingness as believers to offer your creation into our house to adopt them. Amen? So Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you that you are a righteous God. And you just told us, Lord, that we could speak the name of Jesus over every spirit, everything, and expect, God, for you to do in crazy, powerful things. We raise up a standard of righteousness, God, in our lives. Hold us to that, God. Don't let us stray. Don't let us give up. Don't let us lose hope. Because, Lord, you created us at a time when we would be alive on the earth right now in the 21st century. You wanted us to be here. You wanted us to shoulder this tremendous responsibility. Or we'd been born in another space and time. So we're here, God. Empower us. Equip us. Teach us. Lord, I pray for our young people. I pray for our young people, God, that you would just anoint them with the Holy Ghost. God, that you would give them a desire for truth, for righteousness, for your word, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for Lord, just a fresh baptism of your power, that they might shake the nations, God, beginning right here in the United States. God, we thank you for young people. We thank you, God, that there's no confusion on our children. We thank you, God, that they can ask questions to moms and dads, men and women of righteousness, and they'll get truthful answers. And God, we will not skirt the truth. We will not skirt the truth. We will tell it like it is, Lord, in the spirit of love. Help us, Father, because we know that one day, Paul was right, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Help us to walk in that conviction so deep that it changes the core of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Come on, can you sing a little bit more of that? I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let me speak his name in my life without opening my mouth. Let me speak his name in my behaviors, God, without saying a word. Let me speak his name everywhere I go. In Jesus' name.
Cause I know this beat.
Give the Lord praise. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. God, that's our prayer. Let your word, your anointing, burn like a fire wherever we go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. We welcome you today. Thank God for being here. Thank God for watching online. Those of you that are watching by way of the internet, we appreciate your you're listening today, you're participating, and now's the time to give back to the Lord. It's a precious time. It's a time of giving, a time of saying, Lord, here's my tithe. Here's a tenth portion of what you have blessed me with through my job. So let's give to the Lord today. Some of you give online. Some of you give with an app. Some of you come and drop it in the buckets as we receive the Lord's tithe today. Thank you for your faithfulness in doing so. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. He loves a cheerful giver. Such a blessing to have to give. Such a blessing to have work and employment and investments. Such a blessing. I talked to a young man this morning that shockingly I gained his phone number just this past week. He's a great friend. And I had gotten his number a couple of days ago, and he said, hey, Pastor, give me a call sometime. So I gave him a call just to catch up. And I said, well, where are you living, man? Tell me where you're living. He said, well, right now, I'm in a homeless shelter. Okay? Right now, I'm in a homeless shelter. And he said, it's a long story, but it's my fault. Wow. It's a long story, but it's my fault. I said, well, I'd like to come by and see you. I'd like to visit you. He said, we can do that. So I said, let me just give me a couple of weeks, maybe 10 days to 2 weeks, and I'm going to come down and visit you and spend some time with you. So pray for this guy, would you? Pray for him. He's just a gentleman in a homeless shelter. That he said, I'm here and it's my fault. Amen. So just pray for him in your prayers today. And pray for the churches, man, to be the shining light of the gospel. This is a critical time. Was saddened in my heart, disappointed at social media, how the breaking of Roe versus Wade caused tremendous arguments online. Just fussing and fighting back and forth. Christians giving the bad side, giving their feelings. This is not a time to attack each other. This is a time to rejoice and say, God, what do you have for the church next? God's called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. Let's do the very best we can to shine the light of the gospel in this present age. I'm going to call some names here if you guys would come and join me on the platform. We have individuals today that have selected this opportunity to come and join us by way of church membership. Brian and Hart Bissett, you guys come and join us on the platform and just face these wonderful people. Praise God. You can hold your applause until we get to the end here. Crystal Hawks and her sons Aiden and Keaton and Scott Craig. You guys come. We receive Aiden and Keaton as junior members. We do have that provision. People forget about it sometime. Roger and Dawn Lessening. Dawn's not here today, but Roger is here. And Darlene Schreck. Praise God. Come on over, guys. Slide on down here. Praise God. We have an opportunity today to take a new step to say, hey, I want to unite with Carpenter Shop International Church by way of membership. Telly Savalas was a bald-headed man. He said membership has privileges. So we hope you have discovered, and you have. You said, hey, I want to go a step further here. But we have the privilege of receiving these in here this morning to say, hey, want to go a step further, want to do something different. And so would you stretch out your hand of congratulations and help me to pray over these today. Father, we just rejoice for spiritual gifting. God, we just rejoice, God, for calling. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We just rejoice, God, for unique talents and abilities. We just rejoice, God, for an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. We rejoice, God, that it doesn't stop us in our latter years to cross a global line and say, hey, I'm going to the nations. And Lord, we thank you, God, for giftings to love on people. And out of our own woundedness sometimes, out of our own hurt and pain, God, you cause us to just love more. And so we thank you for every person in this line today. God, we just release blessing upon them in Jesus' name. We rejoice today, God, because of new membership. We thank you, God, for every one of them. May your blessing rest upon them as they strive to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give them a hand, guys, would you? Hallelujah. You guys can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. One of the joys of pastoring this church is the unique anointing. There's a couple of things that God's anointed us to do, and that's break racial barriers. And we've done a good job with God's help on doing that. But another uniqueness that we have is that we raise up. I was talking to the membership class just this past week about this. We raise up individuals and we help them discover their gifts. And then we release them out to do the work of the ministry. I spent a little time this weekend with Randy Hughes. Randy was here for a couple of years, and today he's pastoring a church over in Columbia. In fact, if you started at a carpenter shop and then say, oh, there's Murfreesboro. Pastor Sandy was here. He served here for several years. Joy and I were his youth pastors when he started out. And today he's serving. He told me one day, I'll go over there and preach for you, Pastor, but I'm not pastoring that church. That was several years ago, okay? I'm not doing that. You should have read my book, Sandy. Chapter 1 says, never say what you'll never do, okay? And then you go over to Gates County, and the Upper Room Assembly is pastored by Eric Earhart, a convicted felon inmate who came to church here on a visitation. And God just called him and set him apart. And my board members, I never will forget what they said. Pastor Wallace, we love you, man. But have you lost your mind? This guy's a pastor. I said, no, I haven't lost my mind. I believe God's called him, and I believe he's going to use him to establish a church through Carpenter Shop. He's been there, man, almost 20 years now, and leading a tremendous congregation over there and doing a great work. Praise God. Randy Hughes, Andrew Knotts in Edenton. If you just dart all through northeastern North Carolina, there are pastors that are serving that had their season here. Amen. That's so much fun. And today we get an opportunity to hear from one of our own who just a couple of years ago had a radical transformational experience right here at this church. And immediately, he didn't waste any time. He got up off of the altars of repentance and said, now what do I do? Okay? And he hasn't stopped. He's gone to school. He's finished the course. Yesterday, he took his final examination, sitting there for 4 hours being grilled and drilled. Grilled and drilled for 4 hours. And his next step is we present him credentials here on this platform in just a matter of a short time. And we're so proud of you. Would you welcome our men's ministries director? Would you welcome Joel Tapscott to this pulpit this morning? Come on. Give it up for Joel. Praise God. We're praying for you, Joel. We're trusting God has a word in your spirit today. Let me get that for you, man.
Morning, church. As Pastor Wallace said 2 years ago, right there, I'll never forget it, and gave myself to the Lord. And this last year, since I spoke to you guys, been a year ago, man, it's been a whirlwind. I'm tell you, I had the opportunity to speak everywhere. Went to Africa with Pastor Mike. Life-changing. We're going again, so look out. We're going to come get you guys. A lot has happened that last year. A little over a month ago, my wife, Melissa, we all know she had got diagnosed with breast cancer. Today I'm here to tell you she's cancer-free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's through you guys praying for her and her submitting totally to the Lord for his healing that done this. We thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited about closing this series out. Man Up, something dear to me. January 19th, 1982, my first day in the U.S. Army, Fort Jackson, South Carolina, I met a man that would impact my life forever. Took a young man of 18 years old and taught him how to be a man, how to stand up, and how to be on himself, be by his own and stand on his own 2 feet. His name was Staff Sergeant Henry. First time I ever met him, he was in jump boots, dress greens, medals all over the place, all these brass shining, mirrored glasses, just like you see in the movies. And the first thing he said to me, I'm not going to say to you guys because it wasn't politically correct, I should say. But all I kept thinking was, man, I hope I don't get him. Well, as it turned out, I was the first name he called to line up in him. We got on what they call cattle cars, and that's what it looks like. It's just like a cattle car. If you guys seen these hog trailers, that's what it looks like with just benches in it. Took me someplace I never knew I was going to go, which was to the barracks. And he had a little bit more choice words to us through there. But the first thing he said was, your mom's not here anymore. So I got to thinking maybe I made the wrong choice, but I was committed for 6 years, so it just really didn't matter. But you know, the man taught me a lot. He did teach me a lot, and I'm forever thankful for him. They had this thing, it's called Victory Tower. It's the first time I ever heard Man Up. First time I've ever heard that phrase. It was about 80 foot tall. You climbed up one side, you weaved in and out of these boards, took a rope ladder to the top. When you got to the top, you went to the other side, they put this harness on you, and you rappelled down. You learned how to rappel down this wall. Well, what they didn't tell you until you got over the side was when you got 20 feet from the end, let go so you could fall to the ground. They said that way you wouldn't get shot at. I think it was just knocked the breath out of you is what I'm thinking, because 20 feet when you land on your back, it kind of hurts. But that is my time in the Army was truly, truly, truly great. I learned a lot of things. Did teach me how to be a man. I met my wife there in Germany. Got to see a lot of things. It was a grateful day. That, like I said, that's the first time I heard Man Up. They told us Man Up meant courage in the face of fire, courage in the face of adversity. What that meant was you met fear straight on. You just met it straight on in the face. Sometimes we struggle with that, you know. Sometimes we struggle with fear. A Jewish philosopher and psychoanalyst, and Arthur Alexander, who have a hard time with this last word. I think it says Mr. Litch stated, society has torn the soul of the male, and into this tear the demons have fled, the demons of insecurity, selfishness, and despair. Consequently, men do not know why they are as men. Rather, they define themselves by what they do, who they know, and what they own. In other words, we let the demon in. We live in the flesh. We don't live in the spirit. And I think we need to get back to living in the Spirit. This time of day, right now, with everything that's going on. Since the beginning, man was anointed by God as the head over everything, the head of the household, the spiritual head. When God formed Eve from the rib of man, he then became the head of the household, not only supportive, but also spiritually. In Genesis 2, 23, 24 of the King James Version, it's the New King James Version, I'm sorry. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." By this right here, we're anointed as head of the household, just like it says there. We're to lead our family spiritually. The problem is today, somewhere along the lines, we have failed at this. We have gotten slack. We have gotten lazy in it. Man faithfully served this role throughout the years, but we became complacent and lazy in this role. We decided that we no longer had to take on this responsibility. Just let that sink in for a minute. I don't know when it happened. I think when we started getting politically correct, that we started taking the church and God out of everything. We started taking it out of school. They told us we couldn't pray. Start taking it out of the courthouse. They really don't want you to put your hand on the Bible and swear to God anymore, which I can't understand that. But, you know, when we get farther and farther away from God, what happens? He's right there in the back. Satan's right there waiting. So he took this opportunity, and we started taking God out of everything. And it happened first in the schools. You know, they told us they said the Pledge of Allegiance, we couldn't say it. Then they said prayer. We don't really want to pray in school anymore. At that point right there is where Satan got his foothold into our youth. Because of this, man let the wolf into the sheepfold. Instead of protecting the family, he invited the wolf into the house to devour his young. You see, Satan is forever trying to find a way into our lives. He found man wanting and asleep at his task of being a spiritual leader. Instead of being strong in faith, man has backslid and has anointed the position from his anointed position of spiritual leader. He has led his family to the arms of Satan. They are filled with greed, anger, violence, racist, hate. No longer are we filled with the spiritual gifts of the Lord, which is love, kindness, goodness. Like I said, we're filled with adultery, drugs, drunkenness, pornography, and other fleshly desires. You know, it just breaks my heart. It does. I mean, we struggle. We struggle every day. You know, I see young men, young women out here on these streets. There's no unity out there. There's no relationships out there. What it seems like is little young men jumping from one little girl to the next little girl to the next little girl, next little girl. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. The bad thing about it is it's not just the youth. I thought, and I prayed, and I started watching leading up to this sermon. Just watching men in general. Just sitting back watching them. Anywhere I go, just watching them. And I used to think it was just the young men that has been strayed. But it's not. It's people my age. I'm almost 60 years old. And we got young, old men out there at these stores trying their best. Now, they're in a relationship. They're married. But what are they trying to do? Trying to cheat on their wife. It's just shameful. It's just shameful. How can we lead our children, lead our youth, and lead our church when we're out there setting an example of this? Instead of being here in this church, every chance we get being in church, spreading the Bible open, reading the Bible, teaching our kids about the Lord, fellowshipping with people. Instead of doing that, all we think about is hate and pornography. Pornography, you can't get away from it. I try to shut that out of my life, but it just seems like it pops up all over the place. I don't watch the news because it's full of just badness, ugliness and hate. You know, we just had some mass shootings going on. People want to blame it on guns, Let me ask you guys something and think about this. When all this went on at these schools, where were the people at praying for these schools? Did we see them online? Did we see them? Did we see people just sitting there praying, you know, claiming to God, coming to church, praying? I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it because I don't watch a lot of news. But we got to get back to God. We got to get back to God, people. We got to get back to God. And if we don't, we're lost. We're lost. I'm getting a little bit off track, but I told the Lord he could have his way today, and he's going to have it. Man has let the evil spirit Jezebel into the spirits of himself and the young men. We have youth killing youth. Parents are deciding to tell their children that even though they were born male or female, that isn't the way they're supposed to be. We see it every day. We see that. I just watched a clip somebody sent me. The female CEO of Disney. This is shocking. Well, I take that back. It was sent to me in Africa. I read it, and I was just shocked about it. She was up there saying that her son, who is 4 or 5 years old, wasn't born a male. That he was born a female in a male's body. And that she was going to go so far as thinking of having that little boy's sex changed at 5 years old. I don't know about the rest of you, but at 5 years old, all I was concerned about was playing with a toy somewhere. I mean, you know, it wasn't about, I understand kids now, they're a little bit smarter than we were when I grew up, but maybe we need to get back to where I was and go outside and start playing. I don't know, but how can a parent sit here and say, my child is not a male or a female? How do you know this at 5 years old? That child does not know male or female. He doesn't know. He doesn't know color. He doesn't know anything. He or she doesn't know this. All they know, Brian, I know Brian. I know Hart. I know Pastor Wallace. I know Matt. That's all they know. They don't know anything else about you guys, whether they like you or not. That's an atrocity. It's just... they're making the decision to change what the child is telling them at the young age. They are gay or they are transgender, just like Pastor Wallace said. How do you bring a child in elementary school? I'm assuming that's what grade she's in, is elementary right now. With a note home, wanting you to say if you're male or female or other, I guess, binary or whatever that was. How do you do that to a child? How do you do that? They only know boy and girl. We're putting that into the head. They're not concerned about male or female at that age. All they're wanting to do is go to school, be with their friends, and learn. The problem is at that age, their mind is like a sieve. They're open. So everything that we tell them impacts them right then and there. So for our parents at this age, are telling these kids, you're not what you're supposed to be. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Don't listen to your pastor. I'm telling you, you're supposed to be a girl. You're not supposed to be a boy. You're already putting that in their head. So when they're growing up, they're already lost. They're already thinking, I'm wrong. Instead of telling them that, what we should be doing is reading them the Bible from the beginning to the end, bringing them to church, putting them in our kids' church, letting them hear the word. We should have a Bible open at home everywhere I would go. When I grew up, to this day, when I walk in my mom's house and I turn to the left, right there is the family Bible. And it's open every day to a different page, a different page, a different page. It's been like that as far as I can remember. From here all up, I remember that Bible. It's green. Well, it's not green anymore because the binding's about wore out on it, but it's got the pictures in it, which they don't have them in Bibles anymore that I see, but it's illustrated. It's illustrated. So we got the word from the beginning. The problem is now we're not getting the word. We're not getting the word. Know this, church. This is a travesty against our God. I know that this, my God, I know he is all-knowing. He's all-present. He's immutable. He's not indecisive. He doesn't make mistakes. When you're telling me that my child is a female instead of a male, you're telling me that God made a mistake. And I don't know about you, but my God does not make mistakes. Just, it upsets me. Dr. Jerry White, who is Assemblies of God men's ministry leader. He's over the whole Assemblies of God. We just went to a leadership program, me and Roger. One thing he kept reiterating to us was this: you change a man, you change a family. You change the family, you change the church. You change the church, you change the community. You change the community, you change the country. You change the country, you change the world. So it's important as men that we change. We have to change our way of thinking nowadays, because Satan has changed his attack. His attack is no longer on us. His attack is on our youth. So it is. It is. And we have to change our way of looking at things. It used to be we thought it was all about us, but it's not. It's not. He's found this out. He's found out, and it's coming to fruition today with the parents we have today, this younger generation. Not all of them. Don't get me wrong. Not all of them. But it's coming to fruition. He started a long time ago attacking the youth. Just like I said, when we started taking God out of everything, that was his way in. He started attacking the youth. Now it's coming to fruition. What's happening now? Parents are doing the work for him. He doesn't have to do already anything. The parents have already done it. They're not here. They're not here. Just like the pastor said earlier, they think they got better things to do. I talked to a young man I've been trying to mentor, going on a year now. And, I just started him getting going to church. Told him it didn't matter if he came to my church. I don't care. Just go to some church. And asked him about his salvation. The sad truth of the matter is that his thinking, I think, is the way a lot of the younger generation thinks. He told me straight up when I asked him about salvation, he said, "I got time for that later." I said, "No, you don't." He's like, "Yes, I do." He's like, "Because I've been told you can be saved on your deathbed." Let that just sink in for a minute. Here's a young man now. I just came to the Lord 2 years ago, so I'm trying to push everybody to the Lord. But the way of thinking is shocking. You know, why are you going to wait to your deathbed? You could walk out this door right now, and that's it. You could drop dead. The Lord doesn't say that I'm going to give you 120 years. He's not going to say I'm going to give you 50 years. You know, you never know. Why leave it to chance? Why are we leaving salvation to chance? But unfortunately, that's the way of thinking of young men nowadays, and there is absolutely nothing in this world that we can do about it. Not just young men. I'm using man as an example because this is a man up series. Men, like I said, we fell asleep somewhere down the line. Women outnumber the men in the church. I read this statistic. I got it at the house. I didn't put a lot of statistics in here because Pastor Wallace said them last week. Women outnumber men in churches. 2/3 of the church is women, 1/3 is men. That is that's a eye-opener right there. You know, women have unfortunately had to assume the role as the leader of the family. Thank God for the women, because right now, if we didn't have them, we'd be hurting. We do have good men in this church. Don't get me wrong, we have good men in other churches. But I'm just stating facts. We can look around and we can see. Women are more active in the church than men are. You know, it seems like we can ask them to come to an event. They're there. Men, we have to advertise, put flyers out, and we might get 10. You know, it's a shame. We shouldn't have to say but one time, hey, we got an event. We got a speaker on Wednesday. This church should be just as full on Wednesday as it is on Monday or on Sunday, any day of the week. We have Bible study every Wednesday night. We should fill this church with Bible study. I don't know about you, but I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't think I ever will. But Pastor Mike will put it to you, and he will learn a lot from him. I don't know about the rest of you, but I learn a lot from him. I say Pastor Mike. I look up to Pastor Mike. I looked up to him for years. I've known Pastor Mike now 30 years. Pastor Mike, I'm not going to lie to you, he literally saved my son-in-law's life at a young age. If it hadn't been for him, I don't know if the boy would be alive right now. And for that, I'm forever thankful that I got a man right there that manned up a long time ago. He does a lot for the kids. Anybody that knows Pastor Mike knows he does a lot for the kids. Took him canoeing, took him camping, had him at his house for Bible study. I don't think they knew that they were doing Bible study back then because of the way he done it, but he imparted the Lord into him. That's all it takes. He hasn't given up today. You know, I thank you. I thank you. Because of you, my daughter's got a good husband now. You know, and I do thank you for that. That's what we need. That's what it's going to take, is men like that right there. Men like Pastor Bernie. Pastor Bernie done my heart good last week. Seeing your family come in here on Father's Day. You know, I know your family lives way off. Some of them in Maryland, I do believe, is what you told me. And they come down here to be faithful to you. You raised them right. Pastor, we know we raised your kids right. I struggled with that a little bit. I'm going to tell you, I struggled with raising my child right for a long time. But I didn't know the Lord. You know, I didn't have time for the Lord. But trust me, he has made up for lost time with me. And I'm pressing into her. There's not a day go by that I don't. She's not here today, and it just breaks my heart. They were coming faithfully. My son-in-law gave himself to the Lord right here and straying away again. Unfortunately, that's the pattern of men and young people today. They come to church today, then they leave. 7 out of 10 young people between the ages of 18 and 25 walk out our doors every Sunday, never to return to church. 7 out of 10 between the 18 to 25-year range that we lose forever. I'm not talking about just walk out and don't come back until 2 or 3 years. They don't come back forever. We have to do something about that, men. To do something about that. So I'm telling you, it's time to man up. It is time to put on the armor of God and sharpen our swords. It is time to walk firmly and courageously into battle. It is time to take back our young men. Now more than ever, we need men to go out and bring these lost men to Christ. We must take our rightful place as the leader of the spiritual well-being of our family. It's up to us, man. We gotta do it. We gotta do it. We gotta stand up. We gotta draw that line in the sand. We gotta man up. We gotta get back to what God said we need to be, which is the leaders of our house. And 1 Timothy 3:1-7, the New King James Version. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That about says it all, doesn't it? We can't take care of our own house. How are we going to take care of the body of Christ? How are we going to get this church where we need to be? How are we going to get to where we need to be? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and into the snare of the devil. It is time for the man of God to man up and take the rightful place at the head of the house, the spiritual leader of the family. The time is now for us to start the revival in our youth and in their faith. We can no longer sit in the wayside. We must take action. We must lead our families in worship and the word. We have to start today. We cannot wait any longer. We can't. We can't. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed 10 years from now. Who's to say we don't walk out this door and the rapture starts? Where are we going to be? What are we going to say then about our kid? What are we going to say then about I should have, I could have, I would have, if I'd had more time, if I had more time, if I had more time? We know we don't have more time. If you're a man of God, if you're a woman of God, if you're a child of God, you know this could happen anytime, anytime. Time is something we don't have. Why should we wait? Why should we sit on the wayside and wait? Why? Why? What excuse do we have that we're waiting? We need to be proactive, not reactive. We need to get in the trenches, go out, and proclaim the glory of God to everyone. You know, we got to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it. I didn't know last year that I was going to Africa this year. Did not know. I did not know when I left this pulpit last year if I would ever speak again. But the Lord has put me, I don't even know where I'm at right now. He puts me in so many places. But it's good. It's good. The only way we can do this is something me and my wife talked about and talked about and talked about for a long time. And you got it. You got it that day that you told me the doctor said you had cancer. It's total submission to God. When we submit totally to God, we can accomplish anything. Anything and everything will be made possible in your life. Don't doubt this. I'm living proof of it. She's living proof of it. That day that she had cancer, I texted her back. I was at work. I'll never forget it. Something no man wants to hear. What you guys don't know is I've lost my father and two sisters to cancer. My mother had cancer, the same cancer she's had. My mother's been cancer-free now for 15 years. Both my aunts and my cousin, they're all cancer-free. They've all had it. She lost both of her parents to cancer. So it was a moment. Instead of reverting to fear and running away, let me tell you what she told me. I asked her what she needed. She said, I need a man of God, Pastor Mike, to lay hands on me. I went one better. I got my pastor and Pastor Mike to lay hands on her, and we did right back there. When we done that, all worry, all fear went out of me. I knew from that moment right there that it was defeated. No matter what, I knew it was defeated. Never lost that faith. She never lost that faith. Actually, when they done the surgery, it had went from 4 centimeters to 3 centimeters. So if we had waited, if they had postponed that surgery about 3 more weeks, we wouldn't have been going through what we were going through because the Lord was already healing her. You know, it's just about submission. Submission. If we submit to God and pray to Him and press into Him as men, we become our spiritual leader. There's nothing that we can't overcome. We can overcome what's happening today. We can defeat Satan at his own game. At his own game. We have got to push him back out of the sheepfold, church. We have got to get him out of there. Jesus didn't do what he done on the cross for us to fail him. Do you understand that? It's time, man. It's time for us to wake up. And as Coach said, put me in the game. We got to get in the game. We got to stay in the game. I'm not saying that he won't put roadblocks up. He's put trials and tribulations on me. Pastor Bart Willoughby sat right here and told my family what we were going to go through. He foretold what was going to happen to her when I was sitting right back there, right here in December. He didn't say she was going to get cancer, but he told me there's going to be three attacks on me. Three that would test my faith. But he told me I need to be strong in my faith. Two of them's already happened. One of them was her. The other one was in Africa. The only person I told about was Pastor Mike. And I got through it. So press into the Lord. Today we must proclaim that we will start being the spiritual leader the Lord has called us to be. If we do not start now at this moment, tomorrow is lost. We must take our place as the head of the house and spiritual leaders God has called us to be. We can no longer sit on the sidelines waiting for someone else to take charge. We got to man up. There's no other way to put it. We got to. We just can't sit by anymore. Too many of us are. We have got to man up, man. We have got to start fellowshipping, praying. We got to start coming to church. We got to start supporting these ministries. Most of all, when you go home today, take your child. If you don't have a child, take your grandchild. Take a cousin. Take a nephew. Take somebody. Hold them tight. Hold them tight and pour into them. Make a conscious effort every day to pour into them. Just one. Just one. Start with one. When you get that one, go to another one. Go to another one. If you're a family and you got a family, press into those child. Press into them with all you got. Because like I said, we could walk out there today. He's coming on a cloud. We don't know when. There's not going to be a billboard. Some people think there's going to be. Some people think there's going to be shiny lights with a clock on it saying, I'm going to be here January 24th of 2024 at this time. That's not the way it works. We know that. So take it. Life is short. Life is short. There's nothing more important than the salvation of our children. God tells us we're to save our family. Anywhere in that Bible, everywhere in the Bible that I've searched, I've read, it all keeps coming back to one thing, salvation of our family. Salvation of our family, man. And it's up to us to do it. We can't wait on the women to do it anymore. Thank God for you. Thank God for your mothers out there. Thank God for you single mothers, which we shouldn't have any single mothers out here. If you're man enough to make the child, you're man enough to marry that woman. That's the way I look at it. No child is a mistake. I hear these young men out here. And unfortunately, they're in my workplace. And they're mad because they have to pay child support. And they have to support these kids. They're taking this money out and they're taking that money out. The child's not mine. The child's not mine. Or she trapped me in. How did she trap you in? Takes two. It takes two. You know, you knew what you were doing when you laid down with her. You knew what you were doing. First, it was wrong because you weren't married. That's the main thing. The second thing is, God said that's your child. You're supposed to be the father. How could you run away from it? How can you run away from that child as a man? My wife was pregnant. I got out of the Army, come back. I was over 8,000 miles away from her. Everybody told her, that's the last you'll see him. You'll never see him again. You'll never see him again. Within a month, I was back over there. I was in the delivery room for my child. And I've been there for my child ever since. I've had to do some stuff, and I've had to be gone from my wife for a long time to support my family, but I did. Each and every one of us need to do that. No matter what, we have to support our child. There's going to be ups and downs. That child is going to fight you because the devil has a hold on them. We know that. But it's worth it. It's worth saving that child. I don't care how much heartache it causes you. I don't know how much frustration it'll cause you. I don't care how many times you cry. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get in the Bible, and bring that child to church. Until we win them all over, we can't stop, man. We can't stop. If it takes us going to our deathbed, when you get up there and you meet the man and your judge, what's he going to ask you? What did you do? How are you going to answer him? I'm too busy. I was going to do it tomorrow. I was going to do it the next day. I was going to do it next week. Think about that. How are you going to sit there and answer the man? Joel Crowell listed 10 characteristics of a spiritual leadership. I listed 8 of the most important ones that I believe will help us man up. All you got to do is Google him. The man's very insightful. He has some good stuff for men on how to be a spiritual leader. Very, very, very impactful man of God. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He tells you just like it is. And some of it that I've read online, kind of hard for me. It was a hard pill for me to swallow because he described me. You know, we walk around thinking we're perfect and we're on this pedestal. Nobody can knock us off until you start reading what he has to say. Then you start corresponding that with the scripture, what he has to say, and you understand that sometimes you're not the man you thought you were supposed to be. You know, made me cry. I ain't gonna lie to you. I had locked myself in a room somewhere and asked God for forgiveness because I failed him. I failed him as a man. For years, I failed him as a man. I'm here to tell you. But I'm doing my best to put everybody on the right track now. Put men on the right track. Put my family on the right track. Put anybody I know on the right track. Am I successful? Sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. But that's what it takes to be a spiritual leader. Failure. God doesn't say that we'll succeed all the time. He doesn't. He doesn't say it'll all be a bed of roses. Parenting is hard. Anybody out there that's a parent knows it's hard. It'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. That's why I don't have any hair today, because it'll wear you out. But you know, that's what it takes, persistence. Just keeping on men, keep manning up, and you will get there. And the greatest reward that you can ever have is a reward I had when my son-in-law came right here and professed himself to God. Has he backslid? Yeah, he's backslid, but that doesn't mean that I'm not on him. We're working on him. We're going to get him back in here. But, man, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling when you can do that. 8 characteristics of a spiritual leader. 1, committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. What this means is he maintains a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, strives to put Christ first in all areas of life. The second one is growing in his walk with Christ. A leader cannot take people to a place where he has not been. Ain't that the truth? 1 Corinthians 11:2 in the New King James Version. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I have delivered them to you. Consistently reads and studies and applies scripture to his life in a deepening prayer life. The power of prayer in a spiritual man is a strong thing. It's a strong piece of armor. And I don't think we realize that sometimes, you know, in our daily walk. It doesn't take but 2 or 3 minutes when we get frustrated to pray to the Lord. Pray for him. Pray for him for wisdom. Pray for him for a sound mind, kindness, the strength that it takes, the leadership. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. There's a calmness that comes over you once you pray to the Lord. It comes over me. I mean, it comes over me. In the worst of times, sometimes I just have to sit back and pray to the Lord. When you pray to the Lord and you get into that deep prayer to him, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Number three, of proven character. A man must be a proven character, above reproach, manifest the fruits of the Spirit, has a good reputation with those outside the church. Has a good reputation with those outside the church. A lot of us, I think, care too much of what the church thinks of us. We should care about what the church thinks of us. But what we do in this church, we should do out the doors right there. We shouldn't come to church and live as men of God, then walk out that door and fall right back into the same travesty we fall into every day. You know, we got to. It's a struggle. Yeah, it's a struggle. Why is it a struggle? Because Satan is out there every day trying to win us over, trying to win everybody over. There's nothing more that he covets than a man of God. He's already got the lost souls. There's no battle there for him. But, Matt, you're a battle for him. A strong man of God is a battle for him. If he can win you over, he's accomplished something. You're a trophy to him. He can hold up and say, this is what I accomplished right here. So we have to be strong in our faith to the Lord every day. We have to be constantly mindful of the Lord. A man must be humble. Humility is essential quality for leadership. Jesus' ministry and leadership was grounded in humility. Servant leadership is distinctly Christian. A leader must be teachable, gladly submits to recognize leaders and authorities. Hebrews 13:17, the New King James Version. I have lived by this. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. And I have taken this ever since my pastor here asked me about men's ministry. I prayed on it. And I read on it. This right here says it all. And this is the way I live my life when it comes to my church and my pastor and the assemblies of God. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. What that means, this great man of God right here, our shepherd, asked you to go clean the bathrooms. You should go clean them. We shouldn't argue with him. It might not be what we want to do. It might not be what we should do. When he asked me about men's ministry, I flat out told him that wasn't me. But he said, pray on it. Pray on it. That has been the single most biggest blessing in my life. That has been the catalyst to get me where I am today. Just that one thing, submitting to my pastor. Submitting to him. Tells us we should submit to our wives and everything else. This man has a hard enough job right here, protecting all of our souls, looking out for this church. Since I've gotten to know him over the last year, I don't know how you get any sleep at night. I don't know how you put up with it. I'll be right honest with you. Strong couple right here, because you guys just don't know how busy he is. Some of us do, some of us don't. But he's a very, very busy man. Well thought of. I've been blessed to be in a lot of places for the Assemblies of God. And they know I'm from the carpenter shop because I brag about it. And that's the first thing they say is, I got a great leader right there. And I agree with them. I agree with them. But just remember, submit. When he asks us to do something, do it. Do it. When he asks us to come on a Wednesday night, do it. When he asks you to come support this, support that, give to missions, give to this, give to that, we should do it. We should do it. Without question, we should do it. It's all about submitting. Every time we submit to our pastor and to God, we gain. We gain as spiritual men. Trust me, I'm living proof. The Lord has blessed me so much and my family so much over this last year. I don't deserve it. I'll be right honest with you. I don't deserve it. I literally break down and cry when I think of everything that that man has done for me. My God. My God. I know I'm getting a little bit off track, but God is good, isn't he? I forgot where I was at. Number five, has a solid understanding of God's word. A spiritual leader's confidence is not in himself, but in God's commitment to work through his word. Possesses a biblical worldview. Has a good understanding of the contents of the scripture. Has a good understanding of the contents of the scripture. The only way that we're going to get a good understanding of the scripture is through Bible study. Through Bible study. A good study Bible and a good man of God to teach you about the Bible. We have one every Sunday and we have one every Wednesday. And I don't think I'll ever stop coming to Bible study because I learn something every day. Every time I learn something every day about the scripture. I don't know about you guys, but I study it. My wife is studying it now. Does me good to see her studying. She takes scripture, she'll read it. She takes my study Bible, she reads that and understands what's going on. We come to Bible study. We haven't been in a few weeks. Everybody knows why. But we should come. You guys should come to Bible study, men in particular. We need to learn about the Word of God to get back on track to where we are and what we're going to do in this world. Has a genuine love for people. Our love for God is demonstrated by our love for others. Jesus' love for us sets the standard. Has an evident desire to serve God's people. Lives a witness for Jesus. Acts 1:8, New King James Version. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We should profess God to everybody at all times. I know sometimes it's inopportune. They tell me at my work that I can't talk about God, but my God says I can speak about him anytime I want to, and that's what I do. That's what he tells me to do. That's what my heart tells me to do. That's what my spirit tells me to do. That's what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. And who am I to question them? Who am I to question them, man? Verbally shares the good news with unbelievers. Acts 5:42, New King James Version. Daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. Daily. They taught him daily. That's what we should be doing, man, to our family, teaching them daily about the good news. Teach them about the great commandment, the new commandment, the great commission of the Lord from the beginning to the end. Everything leads to Jesus. And that's what we got to tell our family. And that's what we got to show our family. And that's what it means to be a spiritual leader, is to drive that point home and bring our family to God, bring our family to the church, bring our family to worship, ask them to submit totally to the Lord, teach them how to submit totally to the Lord, teach them how to pray, teach them, Teach them about the prayer closet. Teach them about alone time with God. Build them up. We don't just have to break them down. Sometimes we have to bring them down to build them up, Pastor Bernie. Sometimes we have to break them down to build them up. But when we build them up, that's a glorious thing. Praise God. It's a glorious thing when we build them up. We build them up. The Lord will break them down. All we got to do, all we have to do as men, is show them the way. Show them the way. Open the door for them. Just like you would open it for your wife. Just open the door. Just open the door. If you don't know how to do it, are you not sure on how to do it? I don't know how to do it. Everybody has their own way to do it. But I can tell you, right now in this church, we're blessed because I know somebody that knows how to do it and how to get it done. If you got any questions, if you got any questions on how to do that, right there's the man you need to see, Pastor Mike. Now, if you want to know how to get into a young man's heart from this age right here on up, that's the man to do it. The reason I'm saying that is because I watched him. Even though I lived a life of a sinner, I watched that man. I watched him. I watched him gather all the kids in the neighborhood like a net. You hear Jesus say he throws that net out there and you cast it back. That's what that man right there did to the whole neighborhood. To the whole neighborhood. And there were some ratty kids in our neighborhood. Now, I'm going to hear to tell you. There was. He had his hand full. But, Pastor Mike had a great influence on a lot of them. Unfortunately, one of them's gone away from us now, two of them. That's a sad thing when we have to say goodbye to young men. One of them was taken away by cancer. The last thing that little man come to say to me was this, Pastor Mike. And I never knew this. He come to me and he said, Joel, and you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Josh. He said, I just want to tell you, you always treated me fairly. You didn't judge me. And here I was, a man didn't know God, but had an impact on this young man's life. It was the last time I seen that young man alive. The last time. And I think of that to this day. The other one, we know Keith. Unfortunate accident. The bad thing about that was his father never got over it. And the reason he never got over it, because he fortunately turned to alcohol instead of turning to the Lord. If it hadn't been for you, we would have had a lot more children lost. And that's what it takes. And that's what I'm talking about, man. I keep referring to Pastor Mike because that man has made one of the greatest influences on my life, more than he'll ever know. But that's what it takes to be a spiritual leader, is right there, right here, right there. I see you bringing your child to church all the time. I see you doing things with her, building her up. You might not think it's making an impact, but let me tell you something, it is. And that's what it takes to be a spiritual leader, Matt. And that's what you're doing. You're doing a great job at it, and you just keep it up, bud. No matter how many trials and tribulations you come to, you keep up what you're doing with that young girl. Displays Christ's love in practical ways by serving. Acts 2:44 through 45, New King James Version. Now who all believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone who had need. I don't know of a better way to show the love of Christ than for somebody to sell everything they got for the Lord and just give it freely to the Lord. Pastor Wallace Wednesday talked about giving. I watched it online. Talked about giving. So I read in the Bible about it. And come across where Peter told Ananias and Sapphira, I do believe it was, to sell everything and give it to the missionaries. Well, what happened? They sold everything, but what happened? They didn't give nothing to the church. Nothing. So what Peter asked him? He asked Ananias first about it. Ananias said, no, he didn't give everything. He told him, what'd he tell him? He's going to drop dead, and that's what happened. Sapphira, his wife, come up. Asked her the same thing. Same thing happened to her. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen to us if we don't give the Lord, but Jesus says, give Caesar's what Caesar's, and give the Lord's what's the Lord. Are we giving what the Lord is the Lord's? Are we? Think about it for a minute. Think about it. He made a good point. And I know this is getting off the path, but this is something dear to me. 10%. It's not hard to figure out. If you make $1,000, it's $100. If you make $2,000, it's $200. If you make $50, what's 10%? $5. So, what you give is what you give. What I give is what I give. But I will tell you this, and one thing I have found out, and one thing that I took from this man, and that man right over there, man of God, you give, and the Lord will give back. The Lord will give back abundantly. Will give back abundantly. Now, I don't know how, and I don't know why, but I've taken that to heart, and we give to the Lord, even when I don't think I have it. I give the Lord more than what's his. And you know what? We've managed to pay off 5 bills, plus my truck, given to the Lord. I managed to go to Africa. I managed to do a lot of things. I took time off with her. She took time off for cancer. She didn't get paid for it. That's fine. But you know what? For some reason or another, my bank account keeps growing. You know, so test him. You want to test him. I don't need to test him because I already know. He's going to take care of you. You take care of him, he's going to take care of you. And that's what it boils down to, is taking care of the Lord, taking care of your church, taking care of your family. That doesn't mean to give everything you got to your family. That means to teach your family how to stand on their own 2 feet and teach your family how to give to the church. Doesn't mean to, if you got a child, to go out and buy your child a brand new car. Doesn't mean to give that child everything they want. God knows I didn't get everything I want. If I didn't, I'd be in the Bahamas somewhere. But I bought my first car. I bought my second car. My first car got wrecked on a train track, never drove it. They were bringing it to me and stalled on a train track, and boom. So it's what it is. I wasn't destined to have that car, personally. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to help our child. But we can't spoil them either. We have to teach them right from wrong. We have to teach them how to stand up for themselves. We have to teach them how to be young men and young women in today's society. We also have to teach them to profess the Lord, be proud of the Lord, be proud that they're a Christian. And for God's sake, teach them that they're a man or a woman. There's no in-between. As Pastor Wallace said, whoever comes through those doors, I'm going to welcome them with all my heart. Because why? Each one of you, when I come through that door lost, you welcome me into this family. You didn't ask me if I was gay. You didn't ask me, was I on drugs? You didn't ask me, was I drunk? What'd you say? Hey, how you doing? I'm Julie. I'm Joel. I'm Matt. I'm Joel. You welcome me in. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. You guys don't know that have been here for a long time. When you walk through those doors for the first time and people open up their arms and welcome you, how relaxed that makes you feel. You know, we're blessed. We're blessed in that. We're blessed that we got greeters out there every day with a smile, welcome them in here. We're blessed that we got a table out there that we welcome people. We are blessed that we got a members class. Brian, I went through it. I went through it too, bud. You on the right path. You just keep on, because God got things for you, bud. You know, that's what it's about, a church. That's what it's about. It's welcoming people into the church. I say teach a man and woman. Teach them to be a man or woman. We can't make the decision for the child. But, as Pastor says, we can teach them the right way through Scripture and let them go through the rest. God will take care of them. If we teach them Scripture, men, and we bring them to Christ, He'll take care of the rest of it, and we will see a better day. Number 7, has a godly marriage and family. The strength of one's relationship with their spouse is often a key indicator of the strength of one's relationship with God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The strength of one's relationship with their spouse is often a key indicator of the strength of one's relationship with God. A husband who sacrificially leads his wife can sacrificially lead others in the body of Christ. A strong relationship. As I told you earlier, today, the relationship of marriage, the institute of marriage, God-ordained marriage, is getting scarce. People would rather live with people. People would rather have a week relationship, a two-day relationship, a one-day relationship, instead of a long-term relationship, as you two have. We would rather just fly by night, is the only way I know to put it. And that's not the way it needs to be. Unfortunately, that's the way young people have been taught by their parents or by whoever's in charge. We have kids being raised by grandparents instead of family. We have single moms. We have single dads. I don't understand, and I cannot wrap my brain around, and I pray to God on this, because sometimes I'm judgmental in this and I shouldn't be, and I pray for him for wisdom. But I cannot understand how you can give life to somebody and turn your back on them. How can you take God's creation and just turn your back on them? Just turn your back. That's not mine. How can you do that? How can you do that as a father? How can you do that as a mother? Unfortunately, we have that these days and time. And it's all the work of Satan. Like I said, he has gotten in the sheepfold, and we have got to get him out, man. We have got to get him out. New King James Version, Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Number 8, commitment to the local church. As a member of their local church, supports the local church through attendance, giving, and prayer. 2 Corinthians 9:6-15, New King James Version. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us, each one give as purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confessions of the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them of all men. And by your prayer, by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace in God in you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. I think we covered that. Your local church supporting it. That's what we need to do. Churches are going to come up underneath persecution more and more and more and more. And it's going to take us, man. It's going to take us as leaders to protect this church. There's a battle coming. There's a battle already started. Battle we don't know about. It's a battle for this church. It's coming. It's coming. There's going to be persecution. This man right here is going to be persecuted. There's going to come a time where it's going to be against the law for us to try to come to church. We all know it's coming. It has to happen. It has to happen. I believe this. I may be wrong in it. But I had a prophetic word spoke over me that was profound. It was profound. He told me that I was going to be the one that led the fight against the persecution of this church. So when they start persecuting this church, I'm the one that's going to stand up. I'm the one that's going to have to hold this man's hand up when he gets tired, just like Aaron did Moses. So my question to you, man, who's going to man up if I fall? Which one of you, man of God, is going to man up and hold this pastor's hand up if I was to fall in this task? Raise your hand. Let me see you. You got to man up. You got to man up. You got to man up. That's what it's going to be. It's going to come to that, man. It's coming sooner than what we think. By living by 8 simple characteristics, we as men can start to turn the tide of the battle. We can when the young generation win the young generation back to Christ, bring them back to the family, back to the church. We can slay the wolf and make the sheepfold safe again. We already have a strong shepherd, but he needs the men of the church to stand up and give him their strength when he is weary. Time to man up and support him in his charge against the evil and darkness. It's time to man up and help him lead the battle that is coming. The battle is coming. Man, make no doubt about it. Make no doubt about it. It's coming. It all boils down to us being a spiritual leader, the spiritual leader of our family. It all boils down to us coming to church and supporting this church. Supporting our family. Understand when I say family, this is our family here and online. It's not just our immediate family that's going to need the support. It's everybody in here. It's time for us to band together as men and show this church what it's like to be a spiritual leader. And I thank you. Thank you. In closing, I'm going to say a couple things. Pastor Wallace said a couple weeks ago, last month, you know, that me and my wife would be leaving this church. This is my home. This is my home. This is where I found God. No matter where I go, wherever we go, this will be my home. I'm not just a phone call away. Over the next month, I've been praying, and I will get with Pastor Wallace and tell him who the Lord has directed me to take over the men's ministry because me and my wife must make ready. I do know that the time is going to come when we're going to have to leave here and we're going to have to go somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know when. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I do know that now. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be 2 years. I don't know. But unfortunately, that's the life of a man of God. Serves him faithfully. And that's all we can do. With that, I'm going to hand this back over to Pastor Wallace. I'm not going to call for an altar call today. I'll let him do that if he feels good to. But I thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Joel. Praise God. My mind rolled back to 40 years ago. I remember early times in ministry when God opened doors for me to preach. And some of you may listen to someone. You say, hey, you know, I'm praying for Joel. He's getting started into ministry. Let me just tell you something. You don't have any idea what it's like to be given a task to preach the gospel, to prepare your sermon, to present it to people. It'll put you shaking in your boots. It really will. So I say that to say this. You pray for that man. You pray for that man. Your support today, your support to hear the word of God from him is only half of it. The other half is for you to submit yourself to God and say, Lord, I lift up Joel and Mitzi. I lift up Joel and Melissa. I lift them up, God, because you're going to open a door for them to fulfill the call of God on their life. That's the other half of the battle, all right? And stand in the gap for them, amen? And not only that, anyone else in this church that you know that has responded to the call of God on their life, you want to make sure that you're saying, God, have your way in their lives. Not just me as a pastor, but pray for all of those individuals that God has his hand on and that he positions them. This is a challenging time to be in ministry. It really is. Let's pray for, can we just pray for Joel and Melissa right now? You guys come if you would. Let's just stretch out our hands and pray for them this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the call to man up today. Amen. If we would put to work those 8 characteristics in our lives, we would see God do incredible things in our lives. Thank you for stretching your hand out this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, Lord, we thank you for Joel and Melissa. God, we thank you that even in the difficult times, even in the trials, God, their faith was strengthened. They saw you move in their behalf. They saw you, God, open doors for them. And so I pray in Jesus' name, God, that as you already know their future, you already know the direction that you have, you already know the place that they will serve. As Joel said, it could be months, it could be years, God, but we trust you with our lives. And we ask you today, God, have your way in their lives. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. We submit them to your care. Amen. We trust you, Lord, yes, Lord, in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a hand, would you? Hallelujah. We have an opportunity today, a celebration. Roe versus Wade. Can you imagine that? Right here in Ahoskie, every year we've taken the opportunity to support Pastor Dan Smith's brainchild. Several years ago, he started what he called the Ahoskie Crisis Pregnancy Center. And they started dealing with things so much more than pregnancy, because it's not just pregnancy, but they found out as babies were born, there were more needs, as we know. It's not just to have a child, but we've got to do something for that child. And so they changed it to the Family Care Center of Ahoskie. And I just felt that today would be a great day. We have no other missions effort to support today. But I thought today would be a great day, since we are saying, God, thank you for doing what you did with the Supreme Court of this land, turning over a 50-year-old mandate on abortion. Breaking that. People prayed for it for a long time, but God broke it through 3 Supreme Court judges that sat, three Supreme Court leaders that sat on that panel, and they were the ones who were the catalyst. They stepped forward, and God's doing incredible things through a family care center. They have been giving away so many diapers, hand wipes, food, all kinds of things for kids, especially since post-COVID. It's been incredible what they've been doing. And their doors have been bombarded with moms who are pregnant, maybe without a father in present on that situation, maybe without a marriage, like Joel was talking about today. And guess what? We need to be a blessing to them. We've done it every year. In fact, last year we were the top giver in the baby bottle program. They gave us a gift for being the top giver, Carpenter Shop Church, in the Family Crisis Center. So let's give today. Let's give as an act of gratitude to God for seeing Roe versus Wade broken. But let's give through the medium of Family Care Center. Let's bless them. And let's believe God today for a tremendous offering. And just pray about it. Don't just reach in your pocket and drop something. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, what do you want me to give? What should I give? Some of you can give a good offering. Save yourself a trip to Walmart today. Just go on home, okay? Don't go to Walmart and spend your money. Just give $100 or $50 or whatever. But just give a nice gift to the Ahoskie Family Center, Family Care Center of Ahoskie. And let's be a blessing to them today. Lord, we just delight today in what you've done with Roe versus Wade. And Lord, we thank you for every child spared. God, we repent of the 50 years that we killed babies, killed the unborn. We slaughtered innocent lives, God, who had no say-so. But Lord, we thank you for a new day. And we know that there will be new challenge because of it. So we ask you, God, to help us. Have your way. And use us right now to be a blessing to this ministry, which is right here in our own Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you for doing that today. And once you give, feel yourself dismissed. Have an awesome Sunday afternoon. Spend time with your family. And to God be the glory.